Hello everyone, it is November 23rd, 2014, and I'm Laura Neal, and this is the Math for Knitters reboot. Basically, I have, to my great surprise, had some questions recently about why the very, very old podcasts of Math for Knitters are no longer available online. And I had to resuscitate the website, and unfortunately all the files got moved around, and apparently the RSS can't find them anymore. So I'm going to do a sort of reboot, reissue, whatever you want to call it, where I will actually put up again all of the original episodes and then start up on some new ones. I don't know how long it will take or how it will go, but it is interesting that people are still looking for something that I made almost 10 years ago. And I just looked at my show notes from the very, very first episode, and it's interesting. I have one comment on it, and it says that she felt that I was a little self-deprecating, and I haven't listened to it, so I don't know what it sounds like, but I was at a very, very different part in my life back then. I was going through a really big transition out of a very negative situation, so it's not too surprising that it came out in the show, and yeah, this is going to be weird. Anyway, I'm just going to start them all over again and play them from the beginning. And they're going to be individual episodes, not big, like, anthologies. And I will link to the original show notes on the current website, which is still Math for Knitters, always number 4.blogspot.com. And yeah, anybody who wants to come along with me in this trip to the very, well, what feels like the far past, I would love to have you. Thank you. Goodbye. Let's start the show. Hello. Welcome to Math for Knitters. My name is Laura, and I would just like to start by thanking Brenda Dane and all of the other wonderful podcasters out there who have made me brave enough to do this. they can't make me talk right, but they made me brave. The reason I'm doing this podcast is I was listening to Gail's of Knitter Gail from her March 11th podcast. She talks about math and knitting, and I agree with her that knitters and women, not that all knitters are women, use a lot of math without realizing it. And they are also convinced that they are terrible at math. And I don't think that it's true. I think that everyone can do math, they just lack the confidence. So there are some basic tips that might make it a little bit easier for you if you are just getting your toes wet in terms of taking control of your knitting through math. First of all, write out your work. That way, if you make a mistake, you can go back and see where on earth you screwed up and fix it. I like to keep a knitting notebook when I'm designing something, and on my right side page of the notebook, I have my design, but the left side page, or the back of the page, is always reserved for my arithmetic. So I can say, okay, this is the number of stitches I have, this is the gauge I have, this is, you know, what I should be doing. And that way I can keep track of when I screw up, or if I'm on an airplane trying to do math and I get confused, or I'm rushed and I don't carry the two or something, then I can always go back. And that helps a lot. Also, don't be afraid to use a calculator, but do remember to bring your common sense. If the answer looks wrong, double check it. Try it again, clear your calculator out, and try it again. Sometimes you have stuff in your memory and you don't know it. Also, don't be afraid to make a mistake. You can always do it over. That's the magic of knitting. For this first show, I want to talk about the shaping of hats. Now, this is something that many of you will already know how to do, but it's easy, and it's easy to explain, so I hope this is helpful to someone who doesn't know how. All you do, and this makes any hat from any yarn at any gauge, all you have to do is divide by 8. Well, after you get your gauge, do your gauge swatch, cast on, for the circumference or width of the intended recipient. My crown measures 23 inches. I make my hats at 22 inches so that they're a little snug, because I don't like ribbing, so it helps them hang on a little bit. So you cast on your stitches, and you knit and knit and knit. And if you are knitting in the round, you can just knit. I usually work for about 6 inches, or the length of my hand, depending on my mood. And then I start to decrease for the top. And you decrease for the top by 8 stitches every other round or every other row. So you take your number of stitches. Say that's an easy one. Say it's 64. If it were 65, all you would have to do is decrease by 1, knit 2 together on the row before you do your crown shaping. If it's 64 stitches, that's 8 times 8. So you think of the hat and you divide it into 8 sections of 8. 8 times 8 is 64. So for your first decrease round, you will knit 6 and knit 2 together, because the decrease takes 2 stitches. So you have 8 minus 2 equals 6 all the way around. And then you either work one round plain or purl back if you're working in stockinette flat. And then you do your next decrease round, which is 1 fewer stitch. So knit 5, knit 2 together all the way around. And so on. And I usually do that until I come down to just 8 stitches. And then I just knit 2 together around and around until I have 4 stitches. And then I just draw the yarn end through that and pull it tight and darn it in, and I'm done. So that's how you shape a hat. I've found for baby hats, it also works to divide by 7. So if you happen to like the number 7 and don't mind a slightly pointy hat, then you can do that. Let's see, what else? What I'm currently knitting, right now I'm working on a sweater for my grandmother. I made my sister a sweater for our birthday, we're twins, and she wore it at home, and everybody saw it, and my mother and both of my grandmothers asked if they could have their own versions. So I'm working on one of my grandmothers right now. And I also have a sock kind of going, although I haven't been doing it. I took it for movie knitting, but then when I went to knit, I couldn't see, so I stopped. And also a baby zip up the back little hoodie, which is kind of for when I'm tired of working on the big sweater. I work on the baby sweater. So that's what I'm working on right now. And I have a question about Knitterly Karma. It's about gifts for people who do not knit. Now, when I do knit for knitters, which is not often, but sometimes, I know that every stitch, every inch, every detail, every perfection and imperfection will be noticed. I feel when I give it to someone who is not a knitter or a handicrafter, they don't look as closely. It doesn't mean quite as much to them. I mean, it means something. Like, my mother just cherishes every single last thing that I make, to the point where she keeps things that she's supposed to give away, like baby jackets. But there are other people in my life who I give knitting to, and I feel like they look at it and say, oh, that's nice. And they never wear it. And I'm not really sure how to feel about it. I guess my reward should be knowing that I did it and being happy about it. But so far, sometimes I feel just a little irked. So I guess I would like to know if any of you ever feel that way, or how you deal with it, or if you just stop giving those people gifts. So hopefully soon I will manage to get my PodSafe music network set up, and I'll have music on the show. I hope you liked the promo. I had lots of fun making it. That's my first show, and I hope to talk to you again. And if you have any feedback or any ideas for shows, or a particular mathy nitty hint that you would like me to cover, or a question that you would like me to try to answer, please, please, please leave a comment on the show's blog. That's math4knitters, the 4 is the number 4, .blogspot.com. and thank you very much. Bye.